Thank you.
She do that so much better than I do. I'm telling you, it's just, I agree with you, otherwise I'd be offended. She does that great. I'm telling you. God has blessed us with such a wonderful team of people who are here that are helping in this process, and we are so grateful for that. This morning, I'm not going to be preaching, but that's actually a great thing because we have very special guests in the house. I have, we have the privilege of having, as part of our family, some very powerful, dynamic men and women of God. And I want to introduce to you this morning my brother-in-law and sister-in-law. So this is my wife's sister and her husband, who will be sharing their testimony this morning with us about some of the things that God has brought them through and how they got through it. So I'm very excited to allow them to come and speak to us this morning. I'm not going to take much of their time because they have their story that they want to share, but I ask that you would open up your hearts to receive this morning from God as he speaks through them. So Hiram Martinez, you can refer to him as Hiram. Dana Martinez, would you please come at this time? Or you can call him Hiram.
Hi. We're so excited to be here. I love San Antonio. I used to live here before I was married with Jenna. We were roommates, and I love San Antonio. But I tell you what, San Antonio does not love me. Those allergies are killing me. So I'd love to come here, but maybe in a time when there's not so much pollen. That's okay. The Lord is going to help me through it.
Good morning. Buenos dias. There you go. Yesterday we had a great time with the men breakfast yesterday, and I was impressed. A lot of guys speak Spanish. So, muy bien español. Muy bien, muy bueno. Mi inglés no bueno. Español, perfecto. So, that was amazing worship. I just love it so much. It was so good. But you know the amazing thing? When we go into heaven, there's not going to be preachers. There's not going to be pastors. You know what are we going to be doing all day? Forever, forever, and ever. We're going to be in front of Jesus. We're going to fall down. And we're going to worship for 10 million of years, face down. And after 10 million of years, we're going to kind of come in our senses, kind of open our eyes a little bit. And we're going to see him again. And guess what? Another 100 million of years worshiping nonstop. So if you go to heaven, you are being trained on earth to spend eternity in heaven with Jesus. So there's people they don't like seeing. They don't like to worship. So they got to be ready and prepared for heaven. Right? That's the only thing we're going to be doing in heaven, singing, right? She sings beautiful. I don't sing no good, no bueno. But Jesus loves my voice, loves my song, and loves my singing. And so don't worry if you don't sing pretty like me. God loves your voice and your song and your heart. So I want to do another commercial about the groups. If you think you don't have the church does not have the group that you want to attend or go, why don't you open your own group? I want to give you an example. We come from Gateway Church and they have a group, many groups of retired people. They have Harley Davidson motorcycles. Do you know what they do every Sunday? They're like 30, 45 motorcycles. They go at 9 in the morning, eat breakfast Sunday morning. You can see all those people. You know, all the black leather jackets, and you know, like this, and they go together, they breakfast, and they go all together to church. And after church, you know what? They go for lunch. And during the lunch, they're just hanging out, sharing what the Pastor Robert preached. That's the life group. They're doing life together. So if you don't have a group yet, well, why don't you open your own group? Come to your pastor. Pastor, I want to open my group of people that wants to build things. Like, I don't know if you are a carpenter, you like to build things, or I want to have my group of Legos or whatever. But all you just have to, we are called to have life together with people. Okay? Okay? Amen? All right. How many guys are ready for the word today? Are you ready? Really? You want English or Spanish? Choose. English, are you sure? Okay. Well, I'm going to try. She will help me. If I get stuck, she will help me, okay? So if you see me looking at her, it's because, come on, help me, help me. So we love to talk about worship. But worship is more than music. Worship is more than songs. Worship is more than being in front of the platform. Worship is more than I'm going to write a song and I'm going to record a song and I'm going to be famous and I'm going to be a great leader, worship leader, and this is worship. That is just an expression of worship. But worship is more than songs. Worship is more than music or an instrument. All of those things are tools that help us to worship God. And the main reason worship is equals God. Worship is about a person. Worship is about God. Worship is about Jesus. So we led worship for few years in Mexico, and we heard people talking, oh, I didn't like the worship today. I didn't like that. Oh, they're going to sing that song again? Oh, come on. And they're complaining, we're complaining, and we came to the pastors, and pastors, just kind of, I don't know what to do. We're just struggling with the people they're saying. They're not enjoying the worship, and said, who told you that worship is for them? Are you want to please the people in the church?
No.
Are you singing to them?
No.
Worship, when we are here in church, we're going to call them corporate worship. Because we are a body. We are the church, right? In a corporate way, we are expressing our love to God, right? If somebody came, wake up this morning, came to church with a gun in the head, said, you got to go to church, right? No, we are here voluntarily, right? For what? To worship and to give to God. So worship is what you give, and the word is what God gave you back to you today. So worship is not about songs. Worship is not about music. Worship is not about, look to your neighbor and tell them, worship is not about you. Look to your neighbor and tell them, worship is not about you. Worship is about Jesus, okay? That is the reason that God put so much emphasis in the word about the worship, about God. And from Genesis to Revelations, talks about one person. Who is that person? And you and God used people normal like me and you to express our worship and adoration. So, worship, I want to tell you in a small short definition. Worship is love expressed. Worship is love expressed. How many ways can I express my love to my beautiful girl? I just tell her good things about her, or I just hug her, or I just buy things to her. All of those things that I do to her are expressions of my love to her. Does that make sense? So there's no only one way to express my love to her, right? I know she likes roses? Those pink, beautiful. I won't tell you a story there later on. So there's many ways that I express my love. When I was dating with her, not even dating, I was chasing her. That's way different. She lived in Eagle Pass. And I lived in San Luis Potosí. So I went to Piedras Negras, Eagle Pass, and met her over there. And after I met her, I said, this girl loves Jesus, serves the Lord, and is beautiful. And she's a gringa. I got to get this gringa. So I went back to San Luis. And for months, I was traveling from San Luis to Eagle Pass in a bus for more than 20-something hours, just one way, to see her a few hours, go to church, go to lunch, and come back the same day to San Luis. So Saturday morning, I took the bus. Sunday morning, eat breakfast, go to church, eat lunch, see ya, and come back. Monday morning, go back to my week for months. And we were just friends. We were not even you call them dating? No. So we were just, I was trying to prove her a point.
I was just making him work for it. You know, ladies.
So I was trying to express my interest in her, right? I was trying to express something to her. That is love expressed. I'm expressing something, some feelings or emotions to her that way. And of course, after a few months, she couldn't resist it, and she told me yes. We got married, and she said, I'm going to get this Mexicano with me too. And we got married, and we have 3 kids, and we've been almost 16 years married. So there's many ways to express our love to God. That's the first thing that I want to put on, like a foundation. So worship is a love express, okay? If you have your Bibles, for the ones that are asking if we're going to have the Bible today, Psalms 95, please, verse 6. If you have it, tell me amen. All right. No, I'm not ready. Please wait. Wait. All right. 95:6. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. For He is our God. We are the people. He watches over the flock under His care. So in the verse number 6 says, come, let us worship and bow down. The bow down, what is a bow down? Right? So physically you are making a movement and expression of your body, right? And then what else? Let us kneel before the Lord. So what I want to show you here in these verses is there is a manifestation of your body to express worship. You can go to all Psalms from 1 to all the way to the end in Psalms. You can see David showing how to express adoration and worship to God with his body, with his hands, with his voice, with his jumping. And remember the story about David dancing, and you can see everything. He was expressing love to God, right? So that's exactly the way the Bible teaches to worship God. So expressing it with ourselves, with our bodies. Okay. So worship, the other thing that I want to mention about worship is connected to a sacrifice. If you remember the Old Testament, you can see in the Bible where all prophets and all God's servants there, when they want to honor God, they put an altar, right? An altar. And they brought a offering, a sacrifice to God. So the worship is connected to a sacrifice. So we are sacrificing our time. We're sacrificing, or if you're tired, or if it's Sunday, you say, you know what? I want to take chill pill today. I'm just going to, you know, rest. I had a long Saturday, a long weekend, long week. But you decide not to. You decide to go to church. So you sacrificing your time and your efforts to come to church and worship God. So worship is linked, connected to a sacrifice. And we're going to read a verse in 1 Chronicles 21. If you have it.
Another form of sacrifice is, you know, I'm not going to deny it. There are times that you get to church and there's just so much going on around you. There's so much in your mind. There's things, trials, storms, whatnot. But a sacrifice of worship, an example of the many ways, is for you to come in and leave that at the door and say, you know what, Lord, it doesn't matter what's going on around me. I'm going to leave that to the side. Even though I'm struggling or I don't see the answer or I'm feeling this, I'm going to worship you anyways because you are worthy. And that's also a type of sacrifice of praise because sometimes it's really hard. It's hard to get our mind off of what's going on around us and just put it on Him. But that pleases Him. And He responds to that. And He will meet you where you are. And He will be bigger than whatever the problem is, right?
So 1 Chronicles chapter 21 says, verse 18, then the angel of the Lord told Gad to instruct David to go up and build an altar to the Lord on the threshing floor of Araunah, the Hevite, right? Correct me if I'm okay? So David went out to down what the Lord had commanded him through Gad, who was busy threshing wheat at the time, turned and saw the angel there. His four sons who were with him ran away and hid. When, I cannot pronounce his name, Harana? When Harana saw David approaching, he left his threshing floor and bowed before David with his face to the ground. Luke 22. David saw to Harana, let me buy this threshing floor from you at its full price. Then I will build an altar to the Lord there so that He will stop the plague. And he said, take it, my lord the king, and use it as you wish. Aram said to David, I will give the oxen for the burnt offering and the threshing boards for wood to build the fire to the altar and the wheat for the grain offering. I will give it all to you. And look at what David said. But David king replied to Araunah, that name. David said, no, I insist on buying it for the full price. I will not take what is yours and give it to the Lord. I will not present burnt offering that have cost me nothing. So David gave that guy 600 pieces of gold in payment for the threshing hole. It's a beautiful principle here that these guys tell David, no, David, I will give it to you, my king, my lord. Take it so you can build the altar and an offering. And David said, no, I will never build an altar or offering that did not cost me at all. So it's a beautiful principle that when God calls us to worship, it's something that we got to bring to the Lord. And you know what is the hardest part to offer? Our hearts. So that's why God is chasing our hearts. Okay? Everything okay? Are you sure? I was expecting that Pete brought some breakfast tacos this morning. Oh, those tacos and salsa verde yesterday, and it was good. So I was looking back there if you have some tacos, but I couldn't find them. So Pastor Josh, please, next time, make sure we have tacos. He told me where with this Mexican family, and so we have to know where to get those tacos. Okay, so we start with the what is worship, right? Worship is love expressed, okay? Now, the big question. To whom we worship? Jesus. That's an easy answer, right? Right? We want to mention some stuff here, but we know that, right? And I know we all know this. He is the reason why we are here. right? He is the reason that we come and sing and worship and adore Him and honor Him with everything. Like, Pastor, pray for the offering. You tithe. It's a beautiful worship. You know why? Because if God has your heart, He has your wallet. If God does not have your wallet, you have not given your heart to the Lord. That is free, Pastor. Offering and tithe is one of the best worship offerings to God. That's one of the best ways you can express your worship. And I probably, Pastor, already teach about those things, but I love it, the way they do it and everything. So I just want to throw that out there, okay? Okay, so Jesus is the reason, right? Jesus is the reason why we give. Jesus is the reason why we give our tithe and offering. Jesus is the reason why we sing terrible. Jesus is the reason why we clap. What a beautiful worship, Josh. Church, you are blessed to have a praise team like that. Really? Yeah, you can honor God with that clap. I wish you just keep going. Pastor Josh, keep going. No preaching today. Right? So that's a blessing. We're here because of Him. Nobody's showing off. Nobody's, you know, pretending. The presence was here. Jesus was here. And I was just seeing in my heart Jesus walking during the worship. Jesus walking in front of everybody here. Look in their hearts. Each one of you, look it. So pleased, so honored. Okay, so Jesus is the reason, right? Okay, so now how we worship? How do we worship? There's many ways. I just mentioned a few with your tithe and your offerings. When you're singing, when you're clapping, when you're bowing, when you're kneeling, you are expressing your love to God. You're expressing your adoration and your worship to God. So there's two ways of worship. One, a corporate way of worship. That is exactly what we did here this morning. In a corporate, you know, the church, the bride of God, the bride of Jesus, worshiping together. And we express worship, how? Right? Raising our hands, singing, clapping, and joining with the choir. Now, let me tell you this about, I wanted to tell you this about the praise team. You can see the people here in the front singing, and you see they are the choir, right? You are the choir too. And you know, come on. I don't know how to say it in English, but Jesus is the one, the spectator?
The audience?
Yeah, yes. Say that again. The audience. Jesus is the audience, right? Right. So you, church, is the choir. They are the choir. Mm-hmm. And He's the audience. Mm-hmm. Not you. You are singing with the choir to express and worship in a corporate way to the one who's worthy. And that's Jesus. Okay, so keep that in mind. Everything you start worship, okay, I'm in the choir, and I'm going to join with the choir, and we're going to sing. Okay? So, we express it two ways. In a corporate way, it's what we just did here. You can express a corporate way adoration, worship in a life group, wherever you are, with people, right? Go ahead.
One of the purposes of corporate worship, there's corporate and individual, right? So corporate worship is a beautiful thing because it prepares our heart to receive the word. It prepares our heart to hear God's voice as He speaks through the word and for it to fall on good soil, right? So worshiping before the word has such a great impact because it really softens that ground so we can hear his voice, hear his word, and receive it on good ground. And it's a way to give to God. And like he said, when we receive the word, then God is giving to us. And we want to be able to receive that. So we prepare our hearts. And the corporate worship does that. Now, there's also so much power in corporate worship. I mean, you know how they say, the verse that talks about putting, one person can put 1,000 to flight, two people can put 10,000. It's the same thing. Worship and prayer are intermingled. So when there is corporate worship, imagine the spiritual battle that's going on. Imagine the victory that's going on in the spiritual realm and the things that we're moving and shifting and the breakthroughs that are coming because of the corporate worship. That's a lot of people at one time lifting up the name of Jesus. And there's power in that. And so, you know, it's a beautiful thing. There's two kinds, corporate and individual, and they both have their purpose. And that's kind of where corporate sits.
Right. So I think the corporate worship, what we're trying to talk right now, is I think it's pretty clear, right? It's pretty much clear about it. Now I want to talk about a few minutes in a individual or personal worship, and we call them the 24/7 principle of worship. The individual worship. So the individual worship could be the same way you can sing, you can clap, you can kneel. You can find a secret place, wherever you are in your house or whatever, and sing and express your worship to God in your personal, individual worship. The 24/7 principle, we're going to talk about it right now. So you can express the same way you express with the corporate worship, you can express it individual worship, the same way, right? So I heard my wife singing beautiful voice while she's showering on the bathroom. She put her phone with the music. She's worshiping right there in the shower or in the bathroom, whatever, or putting some makeup, and 3 hours later come out and so happy. And what is she doing in the bathroom? Come on, we gotta go. So you can worship that way, right? In individual way, personal way, worship. The ladies are smiling because they know they take too long in the bathroom getting ready. That's okay. You're still worshiping the Lord over there, right? So put your phone, and if your husband gets frustrated with that, just give it your phone, put music, and worship. So you can express your worship individually, okay? The way that we know. We sing, we clap, we jump, whatever you or kneel, whatever, you can express that worship. There is a lot of verses about it, and we don't want to take too much, but I want to focus in a few minutes in the 24/7 principle. The 24/7 principle of worship is when you worship wherever you are, anytime, any place, anywhere. So you can be worshiping with a good heart, changing diapers. You can worship with a good heart as an offering, as a sacrifice, serving your wife, honoring your wife. You can worship with a good heart and as offerings, a sacrifice, the way you treat your kids. You know what I'm doing that for a leap? I'm the one who put a sleep to one of my daughters, Abby, and sometimes it's hard and difficult because she doesn't want to go to sleep. And it's so hard, and I'm so tired, and I just want to get done and go to sleep or whatever, get ready for bed. But she needs to go to sleep. So I put that as an offering, as a sacrifice to God. And I have to pick her up, take her to her bed, laying down. And she wants you to lay down with her and put her arms around her. And she wants me to, you know, to do this. That's the only way. So I do it. You will meet Abby later on today, but That's one of the ways that I have the opportunity and the blessing to honor God with the way I treat my daughter in many ways. Now, when you are humble, you're worshiping God. When you know that it's not your fault when you have an argument with your wife, and that you know that she's the one who started. And you know what? I have learned that's a beautiful offering. A beautiful aroma.
To give her flowers.
Yeah. Sweetie, I'm sorry. It was so stupid what I did. So prideful. It's not going to happen again. Guess what? It's an incense. An aroma, a perfume to God. And I'm going to prove it to you. Go to Psalms 51, please. Psalms 51. It's beautiful. One of my favorite. I'm going to read to you the Passion Translation version. Verse 15. I'm going to read it, and it's not going to match your version, but this is beautiful. If you don't have it, just listen to me. Verse 51. Verse 15 of 51. He said, Lord God, unlock my heart, unlock my lips, and I will overcome with my joyous praise. For the source of your pleasure is not in my performance or the sacrifice I might offer to you. The fountain of your pleasure is found in the sacrifice of my shattered heart before you. You will not despise my tenderness as I humbly bow down at your feet. Now go, please, to John 4. John 4, verse 23. Yes, yeah. Oh, here it is. No, John 4, 22. God's way of salvation is made available through the Jews, but the time is coming. This is Jesus talking to the lady, remember, at the well? But the time is coming. It has, in fact, come when what you are called will not matter and where you go to worship will not matter. Verse 23, it's who you are and the way you live that counts before God. Your worship must engage your spirit in the pursuit of truth. That's the kind of people the Father is out looking for. Those who are simply and honestly themselves before Him in their worship. That was so clear. And when I read it the first time, it just was like a drug hitting my heart. It's the way I am. When nobody can see, that is the real worship that the Father is looking for. 24/7 worship.
And when your life reflects obedience and worship in the daily life, when you come to worship Him, wherever it may be, it's even more powerful and it's even more intimate because you're backing it up with that obedience and that living a daily life of worship in how you treat others and how you obey God and how you do read the Word. So what I want to share with y'all is the practical side. Worship is so powerful in our individual lives. It can be the key that gets us through a trial or a storm that could either make us or break us. And worship is so powerful because when you begin to worship, your focus, your attention, your heart now is shifted to how great God is, to how mighty, how powerful. Your perspective changes. It's no longer the perspective of the world or the lies of Satan, or being overwhelmed by the problem. Now your focus and your perspective has shifted. And now you are lining your thoughts up, transforming your mind with the Word of God, with the Word that we are singing over and over and over, and it, until it sinks down deep in our heart and we believe it and we walk it. And when our perspective changes to a heavenly perspective, then it doesn't matter what we're going through. We can walk through it with joy, with hope, with peace, with encouragement, because we know that our God is bigger than that problem. We know that our God is more powerful. We know that our God is a way maker, right? He is a promise keeper. He is a healer. He's our defender. We know who our God is because why? We are worshiping and we are speaking it over and singing it over and over and over. God, you are the great I am. You are the Almighty. You are my defender. And we sing that and it gets deep down in our heart and it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what the world throws at us or what situation we're in. We can walk through it in peace and joy because we know who our God is. And we remind ourselves daily as we worship Him. It is a powerful tool of warfare. It is a powerful tool that we have in our hand so that we can get through the battle, the storm, the trial, the fire. My friends, let me tell you something. We will have trials and you know it. The Bible says it. When Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego went through the fire, God didn't save them before the fire. He made them go through it. But guess what? They came out on the other side and they did not even smell like smoke. Amen? That's what I want. I want to come out of the fire and I want to smell like a rose. Right? Because I'm going to tell you something. When you walk through the fire and you begin to worship and you begin to put your eyes on Him, He holds your hand just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fire. And He walks with you in that fire. Remember the king said, I see four. There's Jesus. He inhabits the praises of His people. So my friend, whatever you're going through, you start worshiping and there He is. He cannot deny the praises of His people. He loves it. And He comes and He comforts and He strengthens and He gives you what you need to keep going each and every day, to face what you need each and every day. You know, when Peter got out of the boat and he saw Jesus coming, he said, I want to walk on the water with you. And he started to walk on the water. How cool is that? But what happened? He took his eyes off of Jesus. He looked at the storm and he began to sink. And we may have to do this every day. I don't know about y'all, but when I'm going through a trial, it's every single day I start to sink because I start to see what I'm going through and I start to sink. And so what do? I get on my knees and I start to worship and it puts my eyes back on Jesus so that I can walk on the water, right? And we don't want to be that person who takes their eyes off of Jesus and sinks down. Jesus said, oh, ye of little faith. So how do we get our eyes back on Jesus? We pray, we read the word, and we worship. Worship. Because worship, the music, the singing, that also touches the heart and the emotions. And it just gets deep down inside. So, oh, I love this. I was thinking about this the other night. When we worship through a trial or through a storm, that is one of the keys for us to come out on the other side, not a survivor, no, an overcomer, not a victim, a victor. That is the difference. That is what we have as children of God. We can come out victorious and blessed, and we can come out an overcomer, as opposed to the world who doesn't have that. And when they come out of a trial, they come out bitter, and they come out defeated, and they come out scarred, and their life changes. But we can be that example to them. They need to look at us and say, I want to be like that. I want to come out of the fire, and I want to look like that. I want to smell sweet like a rose, like that person. Right? We are that example. So, I'm getting out of control here. Let me rein it back in. So I want to share our testimony, because it's such a practical example of what we're talking about. So we have three children, and my second one, her name is Abby. she was born with Down syndrome, and she is just precious. And it was, at first, it was shock. It was overwhelming. It was a journey we weren't, you know, prepared to take, but we fell in love with her, and she was just precious, and she brought so much joy to our hearts. But when she was a year and a half, she was diagnosed with leukemia, and so our world was shattered, just shattered. And unfortunately, children with Down syndrome do not handle the chemotherapy very well. It really knocks them down. So that whole first year, we were pretty much living in the hospital, more in the hospital than our own home, at least me and Abby. Well, we would take turns because I was pregnant with my third when she was diagnosed, and then we had our preschooler in the house. So it was a rough time. I'm not going to lie to you. I mean, I was in between my house and the hospital. I didn't get to see my preschool every day. When my daughter was born, Abby was in the hospital getting chemo. I couldn't be with her. My family just stepped right in and helped us out and helped us through it, or we couldn't have done it. And so I would go. At one point, 8 months into it, she got very sick, and she died pretty much. She stopped breathing, and they had to do CPR. They rushed her to the ICU, where she was sedated and living on a ventilator for about 30 days. And it was a really rough time. I had a newborn at home and my preschooler. Bless you, Dom's heart. He still had to work full-time, and then he'd come and stay at the hospital at night. We'd take turns, or he'd go sleep at home. It was just, you know, it was overwhelming. And the doctors did not have hope for her during that time. They actually told some of the staff that she wasn't going to make it. She just was not getting better. And there were times that I would wake up and think, I don't want to face the day. I just want to stay in my bed and cover my head. There were times I would rather die than see my daughter suffer the way she did. And so every day during that time, I would just fall out of bed on my knees and say, God, give me the strength. I have a newborn. I have my baby sick in the hospital. My four-year-old was going through depression, which is really odd for him because his sister wasn't there and his mom wasn't there and his dad was back and forth. And so every day, I would start to worship because it looked dire. It looked bad. They could not give me hope. So I remember I would just start worshiping. I'd put on music. And I was so busy that a lot of times I would have to worship from my house to the hospital, which was about a 10 to 15-minute drive, depending on traffic. So I would, every day, put on that worship music. Jenna would send me songs, worship songs that would just minister to me. I'd turn it on, and I'd just sing it. One of the songs, despite what we were going through, was, "You're a good, good father. It doesn't matter what I see, you're a good, good father." And I would sing it over and over and over until it sunk down into my soul, and I knew, and I got out of that car, and I walked in that hospital with joy and peace in my heart, knowing that my good father was holding my hand. And I don't know how I did it, because I would walk in there, and we would minister to other people, pray for their babies. We would pray for their families after the babies died.
There was a lot of Hispanics in the hospital, and Dana speaks great Spanish, better than mine. And these ladies just came to her and asked her, "You're different, you're weird, what's going on with you? Your daughter is not well, and what's going on? Oh, you want to know what's going on? I want to tell you what's going on. I have a good father. How a good father is going to get my daughter out of here. Can I pray for you?" Many, many families over there, they open their hearts to the Lord for that situation. We don't understand. Our job, our responsibility as sons and daughters is to worship our God no matter what. And we saw many, many, many people being saved. We went with this family. His son died. He had cancer. Where they invite us to their
The funeral.
We were like 40, 50 people. They came from, all those families from Mexico, they're Mexicans. They came from Mexico. And she called, my family from Mexico, they're going to come. And could you please come and share what you shared with me in the hospital? Yada, yada. And we came, we went, and everybody there received the Lord. We got the...
Well, he just pretty much told them, repeat after me, we're all going to receive the Lord right here. Yeah. So everybody in the funeral prayed the prayer.
So yeah, God used that situation for good. So I just want to...
But those times when you have that doubt and you have that just overwhelming fear or paralyzing fear of the circumstances, at those times, we sing. Sometimes we sing. So sometimes we sing because we are sure of who God is. And sometimes, let's be honest, we sing until we are sure of who God is, until it sinks down into our heart and we have sung that doubt away. That is what it is. It is a tool. Worship is a powerful tool. It is what God has asked us to do, knowing that in return, it will bless us. It will strengthen us. And I can tell you that I would get out of those moments of worship and I would step out with strength, supernatural strength. I would step out with my faith built up, and I would step out with peace, and I'd walk into that hospital, and I'd face those doctors who said, there's nothing we can do, and I would say, my God can do it. And we would put worship music in her room 24/7, and they would come in, and the doctors and nurses, and they would say, wow, there's so much peace in here. I just love coming in this room. It was filled with the presence of God, and we would have that music in there, and God's presence was there. And I knew, because I couldn't hold my baby, because she had tubes all over her, and she was sedated, and that was hard. But I knew that Jesus was holding my baby. I knew it, because his presence was there. So friends, I just want to encourage you, because we all have trials and we all have moments where we just think we can't go on, or the circumstances have just overwhelmed us, or there seems to be no way out, but he is our way maker. He's our promise keeper. He's our healer and our defender and our provider. And I don't know what you're going through, but I do know that my God is big enough. And I do know that if you put your eyes on Jesus, you are not gonna sink. Right? You're going to come out of the fire smelling good. And those robes are going to be burned off. When Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out, the robes were burned off, but their clothes were not burned. Their hair was not singed. You will come out not bitter, not defeated, but an overcomer. Amen? So, I just want to give you two examples from the Bible, so you know I'm not making this up. Jehoshaphat, when he had to go into battle against the Moabites, the Lord told him, you put the Levites in front, and the battle is mine. And he did that, and they sang their way to victory. They didn't even have to fight. They just worshiped. They just worshiped. And the other one is Paul and Silas when they were in jail. Beautiful story. They were bound. They were in jail. And they just begin to praise. And God sent an angel to take off their chains and an earthquake, and they got free. So, you know what? If he can do it for them, he can do it for you. Amen? Oh, would y'all like to meet Abby? By the way, the Lord healed her, and to this day, her oncologist calls her his miracle baby because she walked out of there.
This is the one that keeps me away at night.
Can you say hi? Hi.
So what happened when you worship? You're breaking through. Worship will bring breakthrough.
Hi.
Good job.
So worship will bring breakthrough to your life. It's hard. It's tough. Sometimes you don't want to. But that's the only tool, the only weapon that you have is the worship. One of them. There's many, but worship. Just imagine like a big concrete ceiling. Soon as you start worshiping, You break it, and you just connect it to heaven. Connect it. And I help you to keep going. Yeah, this day I'm not ready. I don't want to wake up. But you worship, and you're another step of faith. And another step of faith. And another step of faith. That is worship. That will be the worship that will help to keep going in faith. So why don't we take some few minutes and pray, and I will invite everyone to close your eyes. If you are willing to stand up or stay in your seat, that's okay. Remember, God is chasing your heart. God is chasing your heart.
Caught up in your presence, I just want to sit here at your feet. I'm caught up in this holy moment, I never want to leave. I'm not here for blessings, Jesus, you don't owe me anything more than anything that you can do. I just want you.
Yes, Lord.
I'm sorry when I've just gone through the motions. I'm sorry when I just sing another song. Take me back to where we started. I open up my heart to you. I'm sorry when I've come with my agenda. I'm sorry when I forgot that you're enough. Take me back to where we started. I open up my heart to you.
Why don't you raise your hands and start worshiping? Close your eyes. Just focus your attention, your attention, your affections to Jesus. Come on, a few minutes. This is a good time. It's a great opportunity to express your love to God. Come on. Yes, Lord.
I never want to leave.
Yes.
I'm not here for blessings.
Tell him that. Tell him. Open your mouth,
Jesus,
and express it.
You don't owe
express it.
Me anything more than anything that you can do. I just want you.
Just want you, Jesus. Only you. Only you, Jesus.
I just want you. Nothing else. Nothing else.
Yes, Lord.
Nothing else will do. I just want you.
Yes, Lord, only you.
Nothing else. Nothing else. Nothing else will do. Oh, I just want you. Nothing else. Nothing else.
Tell him. Tell him to Jesus. Tell him.
Nothing
Let
else.
Him know. Let him know today.
Lord,
let him know today. He's the only thing you need. Tell him.
Else.
Only you, Jesus.
Nothing
only
else.
You.
Oh,
only
nothing
you.
Else will do.
Yeah.
want to see at your feet, part of endless glories for me. Never want to leave. I'm not here for blessing. Jesus, you don't know.
Father, we come to you recognizing that it is your presence that makes the difference. Our hearts, just like a little child, are being pursued by you. Help us, O God, to run to you just like a child runs to the embrace of their father. May it be so, O God, that we would learn to trust you fully and know that you have all that we need. That in the midst of every trial, in the midst of every troubling situation, every overwhelming circumstance, your word is true, that you said you would never give us more than what we could carry. Not because we're strong enough, but because your strength is made perfect in our weakness. So, Father, I ask that you would give us a fresh revelation of your love. Help us to understand the power of your presence, the power of praise, the power of just being at your feet. That you change us. It is your love that changes us, that refreshes us, that renews us, that revives us, that stirs within our hearts, drawing us deeper into who you are. And in doing so, making us who we are meant to be. So help us to trust you. Help us to love you. Help us to worship you with all that we are. In Jesus' name. Dana and Hiram, if y'all are thankful for them, can you just give the Lord a praise offering? Come on. Such an amazing blessing to have y'all here. Thank you so much. They're going to stay here at the altar for a brief time. If you feel that you have prayer, need prayer, if there's something that you're going through, my wife is going to be up here as well, and Pastor Sanford, different ones. We also have the prayer wall if you would like to come and receive prayer there. But these, Pastor Sanford, my wife, Dana and Hiram, will be up here. If there is something that you would like them to agree with you in prayer over, come and receive that prayer before you leave. If you're a guest in the house, we want to thank you so much for being here. To all of the family, thank you so much for being here. We are truly blessed to have such a loving family here at Trinity Church. And so we thank you for being here. If you want to know more about membership, please make sure you stop by at the Welcome Center and let them know that you will be here tonight at 5 p.m. for that. Sign up for a life group. It's important to do life together. It is important to do life together. Corporate worship is powerful. We need each other. We need each other. Because we can lift each other up in that. So would you please stand? I'm going to speak a word of blessing over us as we close. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think, according to the power that works in each and every one of you, we speak right now that the presence of God would strengthen your hearts, that the presence of God would increase your faith, that the presence of God would lead every step that you take. May your awareness of the presence of God become greater with every passing moment. May there be moments where he draws you into his presence, into worship. And may he carry you through life's journey. May you be blessed as you leave this place. May you be a light outside these four walls. And may you be blessed and come back in praising and rejoicing for what God has done for you. We declare these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for being here. God bless you. Have a blessed week. See you back here soon.